The show's about to start. Are you ready? Welcome to the show. This is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, Jeff Trunipole, the Iceman. And as always, I'm bringing you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of Jock Pat Joey freaking Burrow, who's going to be back game one. I told you. I'll get to that in a minute. Now, do me a favor. If you found the show, hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. I'm up to 1,115 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you. Let's try to keep it rolling. Try to get to 2,000, then 10,000, then 100,000. That would be awesome. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T-Properties. T-Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, Jackpot Joey freaking Burrow is going to be back game one. Jeremy D, I know you're under the weather, but I told you this is according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, who underwent reconstructive left knee surgery in December, is all systems go for the September 12th regular season opener against Minnesota Vikings. According to Dr. Neil, I have no shot of saying the rest of his name, Job, in Los Angeles. This is per ESPN and from Adam Schefter. So I am very excited. I don't know about you guys. I am fired up. I mean, I knew he was going to be back game one. I was pretty daggone sure. But to get it as official as you can from Adam Schefter, I mean, he usually when he says stuff, he's right. You know, so I'm very excited that Joe Burrow will be on the show or on the show. I wish Joe Burrow be on the show. Joe, if you're watching, please come on my show. I would appreciate it. But I'm very excited that he will be back game one. I have a very special guest today. And that is Dalton from Dalton Signatures. He'll be joining the show here shortly. But we do have some Reds news that I'd like to get to as well. Let's see. Where did I put that at? Right here. C. Trent has tweeted out Joey Votto is on the field doing some field drills without a glove. Just really close footwork type of things around the bag and catching short tosses and everything. Then Bobby Nightingale says Votto was running the bases on a wide drill. David Bell says he had a follow-up x-ray this week to confirm his broken thumb is healing correctly. So hopefully Joey Votto-matic will get back sometime here shortly. Also, Jackson Carmen signed today. So we are down, the Bengals are down to only two drafted players that are unsigned. That is Ja'Marr Chase and Joseph Osai. So it is coming together very, very nicely. I'm excited. I know you guys watch my show. I'm excited as I can be for the season to start. I think we got some great draft picks. Joe freaking Burrow, excuse me, Jackpot Joey is going to be back game one. And I have a great guest. He's an awesome follower on Twitter. He's a huge Bengals fan. He's from Seattle. He does a lot of good artwork and art designs and stuff like that. He designed the Orange and Black Insider podcast. And I suggest you guys follow him. And he's none other than Dalton. Dalton, what's going on, man?
How are you? That much. I keep waiting for the Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Wayne's...
Party time. Excellent. Hey, that was a great skit. I loved that skit back when I was in high school. That was awesome.
Right?
Exactly. So what's going on, man? How are you today? You excited about the Jackpot Joe news that he's going to be back game one?
Yes, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait. It couldn't get any sooner. You know, the season needs to start. No, I wish. Yes. But
dude, I'm with you. See. I'm like, let's go. I'm ready to start now. It's going to be so cool. So just for people who don't know who you are, which I'm sure a lot of people do, why don't you just give us a background about you and what you do and just some general information about you, why you became a Bengals fan.
I've been a fan since 89. When I was a freshman in high school, I went to school in Gallup, New Mexico.
Okay.
And I pretty much grew up in Alaska, but the opportunity to go to school there where my mom lived was I jumped on the train. And so the mascot for the Gallup High School was the Bengals.
Okay.
So when, you know, our Cincinnati Bengals went to the Super Bowl, I moved back up to Alaska. And my entire family in Alaska just said, hey, he loves the Bengals. So I had everything Bengals. I had Bengals posters. I had all the Bengal shirts and jackets and I had the MC Hammer striped pants.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. I really wish I still had them. But
I like what you call the MC Hammer pants. That's awesome.
Right? It's just like the sound beats in your head.
Right. Like, oh.
Yeah. So, you know, I think from that point on, I became a fan. But I just didn't know the fire burning. You know, the embers were lit. Over the years, I've kind of watched them from the sideline, just afar.
Right.
And when I lived in Seattle, quite a few years ago, I used to work at the Seahawks Stadium.
Okay.
So I worked for Seattle's Best Coffee. And I used to be able to go to all the games every season and all the bike show, the wedding show, the boat shows and whatever. And I served coffee. So to be in that stadium and have all the football teams come through from college to the NFL was just fun to watch. And, you know, that passion for, I still love the Bengals, just,
right.
You know, growing more and more. And now I just can't stop talking about it.
Now you're a good follow on Twitter. You always have some kind of new artwork and this is this is actually something you do for a living, or you actually as a hobby, or can I have a couple of the pictures here?
Well, I graduated from the Art Institute in Seattle back in 1996.
Okay.
And I've been doing graphic design advertising since then. And I did years later teach at the Art Institute and Shoreline Community College. So I got into the teaching bid, but you know, I've always had the fun with software.
Right.
Whether it was designing vector or Photoshop or magazine layouts or billboards. And, you know, I've always done that for so many years. But seeing that Bengals really didn't have anything going on Twitter.
Right.
They didn't really, not until the last 3 years that they've started doing something, which has like, you know, is so amazing. I love it. It's growing more and more. And their creative team is getting bigger. Mm-hmm. And it shows.
They need to hire you.
One day, you know, when the time is right, it'll happen.
Exactly.
But, you know, when they do it, I want to have a whole stage of me signing.
Yeah.
Signing day for Dalton, right?
Yeah. That would be cool. That would be awesome. Let's go through some of the pictures here you sent me. This is
This is one of my favorite ones. I like the years of the 85.
Yeah.
From Isaac Curtis to Ocho to Higgins. I mean, how do you – what inspires you? How do you come up with these different designs and different things like that?
Just, you know, seeing how much sports social media has grown over the years, and it's the visual aspect of it is amazing. To, you know, I see what everyone else can do, and I want to do this for our team.
Right.
For our fans. And, you know, Jim Foster, he's huge on history.
Yep.
He loves the history. He has so much. And there's other people that he brings in that has as much as him, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
I love that rich history. And I'm Tlingit from Alaska and Navajo from New Mexico. So I'm full-blooded Native American. And the biggest thing for me growing up, from my grandparents' standpoint, was history, history, history. Know who you are mm-hmm. and where you come from.
Right.
When I look at the Bengals' history, the lineage, the year after year, you know, passing of the baton of this quarterback to this quarterback to this wide receiver and so on. And this, you know, Hudae Baby, prime example. Mm-hmm. Look at, he loves the player that has the only jersey that's retired for the Bengals.
Yep. Yep.
History. And mm-hmm. I love that. And so what I want to do is I want to be able to create a visual dialogue. You know, I love when I post something, you either have fans that just love it and they tell you amazing stories.
Right.
Or you have fans that will tell you, I hated that player, or I hated this, or it was that fumble, or it was that didn't catch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to absorb it all, because you know what? You're telling me something of your experience, and whether it seems positive or negative, is still a part of history.
Exactly. I mean, because you got, like I said, you got Hudae Baby on here. So you get some of the Bengals super fans on here, and this has got to be this Captain Obvious looks a little different to this, but I thought this one was funny. I like this one a lot with Captain Obvious hats on. That's Punxsutawney Phil there. I think that's the groundhog.
And you know, okay, so in my early years of photoshopping in sports,
mm-hmm.
I always wanted to Photoshop for the NFL memes.
Right.
But as I tried and attempted, it's comedy, right? It's fun entertainment, but also cynical.
Yes.
It can be really cynical.
It can be mean sometimes.
Yeah. So I started realizing, okay, maybe that's what I don't want to do.
Right.
And that's when I started turning more attention to wanting to create more positive impact with not just the sports as an industry, but with our team.
Right.
Our Bengals, you know.
Like this one, you got the legend Paul Brown on here. I like this comment. The most pleasant way of my life to have a job you love, and I love football. Coaching money is relatively important to me once I've taken care of the comforts of my family. That's a great quote right there from Paul Brown.
Exactly. It's powerful. You know, there's I value all the diehard fans who stuck through the thick and thin of the years.
Through the 90s.
Some of you, right there.
I was there. It was brutal.
Right? And a lot of us are still licking our wounds because it's like, someone will say something or, you know, it's like, oh, memories. But I want those fans to embrace all the new fans.
Yes.
We're in a day and age where Elizabeth Blackburn is just creating this wave of positive mm-hmm. new energy that we need. We need the long diehard fans to step up, not necessarily step up to the occasion, but to embrace them to the point where they can enrich them in the history.
Yeah, I call them the grumpy old men Bengal fans. Oh, Mike Brown will never spend any money, and they're never gonna win anything. It's like, dude, just calm down. Just if things are, and that's what I try to do this on my show. And I said this last week when I had the super fans on there. I'm trying to put out the positive that this, and you're doing the same thing. This organization isn't as bad as the national narrative has put out there. We're not the 90s of the Bengals. We're the 21st century Bengals. And we got Elizabeth Blackburn. and Katie Blackburn, and they're heading the show. And the fan base that's on Twitter that's positive is getting louder and louder than the negative one. And I love that. And I'm glad that you and me are a part of that, because who wants to hear negative stuff all the time? Like, I mean, you know, it's like, we want people to be Bengal fans. We want to embrace, you know, new fans and come into our family and enjoy this run that I think we're about to go on with Jackpot Joey Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Mixon and Chase. It's going to be so much fun, I think. And I really do think that we got a shot at a Super Bowl here in the next 3 years, because they're all signed. It's all set up for it to happen. Joe Burrow is going to be back game one. I mean, Adam Schefter said it today. So, yes, if you are a new Bengal fan, welcome. Come join us. Yep. It's going to be a blast. You know, things go wrong sometimes, but that's the thing. You don't jump ship, you know, and that's why that's like here in Cincinnati. I can't believe how many fans that grew up in Cincinnati are freaking Squealers fans. I'm like, why are you a Squealers fan? Oh, cool. I get tired of the Bengals. I get tired of losing. Oh, okay. So you're a bandwagon. Okay. That makes sense. So those are the ones that I'm like, yeah, so you jumped on the Squealers who won, you know, 5 Super Bowls or whatever. And that's all we ever hear about when you talk about Squealer fans. Right? So I mean, like I said, you're a Bengal fan from Seattle, but it came organically. You know, you didn't just decide to jump on it. It was your school mascot, and then it kind of rolled from there. And that's the way you become a fan. It's not because you don't root for a team because – okay, if you're rooting for a team because they win a lot, then you're not a fan. You just want to be part of the joyride, you know?
Yeah.
When the Bengals win a Super Bowl, I might pass out. I'll definitely start crying, but I'm going to be right here celebrating it. I know you too, Dalton. We're going to be having a blast. Oh, it's going to be so much fun when it actually happens, and it's going to happen here. I got a feeling it's going to happen.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I think the best thing is that the only thing I can say, what I hear a lot of positive people say, is that there is a business aspect to football, and as a fan, sometimes that's hard to accept. And that's something it took me years to realize. There is a business. You know, these people are still human.
Right.
Jeremy Hill,
yes,
still human.
Even though he trolled us on Twitter after he went to Super Bowl. But I'm like, come on, dude. Really? I mean, I was like, look, I know you fumbled. You know, you didn't mean to do it. But then you got to go troll us and say, hey, you won a Super Bowl ring. And you didn't freaking play.
On the IR, right?
Yeah. I'm like, come on, dude. Give me a break.
But, you know, what I love about being a Bengal fan here in Washington State is that I wear my gear almost every day. Right. And doesn't matter what part of the season it is, someone will always strike a conversation, and it's always a positive conversation.
That's good.
Like the other day, last week when we went to the grocery store, the cashier, he's talking about the Bengals. Like, yeah, you guys got Burrow. You guys are doing good. And then the manager, I turn around, he's like, Bengals, hootay. I'm like, what?
That's the way it was. Me and my wife went down to Tampa for the Super Bowl. I mean, we didn't get to go to the game. We're just down there for the festivities. Because my wife grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida, so she's a Buccaneers fan. So she's ecstatic, and she's true and true. She's a Buccaneers fan. She does root for the Bengals when they're not playing the Bucs. So I'm okay with that. You know, that's a true fan. But I was wearing my Joe Burrow jersey down there the whole time. And I had got a lot of hootays, and I got a lot of, oh, Joey Burrow, he's going to be awesome. I'm like, I know. Yeah. And then we're about to leave. We're walking in, and I don't know where this guy's from. He's probably from New York. He looked at me, Bengals? Why are you wearing a Bengals jersey? Because I'm from freaking Cincinnati, and we're awesome. That's why. I'm like, that fired me up. I had all this positivity and everything. And I'm like, why are you wearing your jersey? I mean, like, why are you coming after me? Because I'm wearing a jersey. I don't know. People like that are just – he must not have a lot of friends, is all I have to say. I think he's a very, very lonely person.
Either case. Oh, my goodness.
Let's get some more. Go ahead. It's all good.
No, don't worry. I think this is probably the first year that I've totally – the past 2 years, I would say, I totally embraced myself into all that is Bengals every month, every day of the year. And it's pretty exciting because our fandom is amazing. the podcasters out there, the new ones that are popping up, the ones that have been doing it for steadily, diehard for years. And even the media is starting to change the atmosphere, you know, as far as the culture of being a diehard fan is changing. And I think that's positive. That's amazing that we have all these fans from all over the world that, you know, are coming together.
Exactly. And this is one thing that you mentioned Bengal Gym earlier, but this is one thing that I'm trying to get out there a lot, and is the Jungle to the Hall, June 19th. It's a rally that Bengal Gym has put together that we need as many Bengal fans as we can to get there. It's not a protest. It's just a rally. We're going to go have fun, and we're trying to get the Ken Anderson and Ken Riley into the Hall of Fame. And I've said this a million times on here. It's an absolute travesty that neither one of them are in there, especially Ken Riley. I say this because I just put this graphic up here. I mean, he's fifth. He's still fifth. Look, everybody above him is in the Hall of Fame. They all got the Hall of Fame logo. Three of them below him, and these three below him, except for maybe Ronnie Lott, Charles Woods, and Ed Reed, started playing after he retired. And he's still fifth. So that's we have to get as many people as we can to the Jungle, to the Hall, because we got to get Ken Anderson in there too.
Yeah,
NFL MVP. He took a team to the Super Bowl. He beat Dan Fouts in the Freezer Bowl, who Dan Fouts is actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So if Dan Fouts is in there, why the hell isn't Ken Anderson in there? So I like to try to put that out there. I don't know. I know Seattle's a little far, a far trip. Seattle to Ohio. I don't know if you're planning on joining us there or
I would love to, but that's a bit of a trick. have been to the Hall of Fame, though.
And okay.
It's amazing. I definitely want to see more black and orange. That's for sure.
We've only got one. That's Anthony Munoz.
I know, and we need more. So I got to go see it. What was it 2011? The Hall of Fame game with the Dallas Cowboys and Bengals.
Right.
So that was my first Bengals live game.
Cool.
To see Ocho Cinco, Palmer, and that was just a great group of players that I got to see at the stadium there in Canton. And I've seen when AJ Green and Andy Dalton, rookie year, when they came to Seattle, I got to go to that one. And when you're an opposing team going to the Seahawks stadium, you be loud and you stand out. I love it.
Especially walking in all bright orange, if that's what you're doing.
right.
So have you ever actually made it to a game here in Cincinnati? Have you got to experience the Jungle yet?
No.
That should be on your bucket list. You should come and enjoy a game with us and go tailgate with a Bengal Gym and us or Bengals Bomb Squad. Both of them are great tailgates.
Dude, it would be so hard because I would want to just like Photoshop stuff all the time. So like, damn it.
You can do a video vlog of it then.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun. Totally.
Exactly. Definitely. Let's see here. Oh, just got a shout out. Shout out to Preston. So, how excited, I know we've been talking about, you know, positivity and everything. How excited are you about the season? Because I put this out there, and this might be a little over optimistic as far as the schedule goes, but I don't care. I'm going to own it. I think we have the best quarterback in 90% of our games. So this is what I have our record at, an 11-6. Now, you could flip-flop the Raiders and the Chiefs game. I got us beating the Chiefs and losing to the Raiders. You could flip-flop that. But I think there's a really good chance that this could possibly happen. Put this way, I think we're going to be in a lot of games and leading a lot of games because we got a chance to score, I think, between 25 and 30 points a game. I don't know how you feel about it.
I think that first Steeler game we're going to win.
I think
I think we're going to win the first Steeler game primarily because, you know, our team is stacked. Our offense is stacked. Our defense is there. Hell, we got Jesse Bates in third. Yeah. And the Chiefs game, I'm 50-50 on that one. The last time we played them was tough.
Last time we played them, that they were big. We were underdogs, and I always remember this game is 0-3. That's the Peter Warwick game, and they were undefeated, and they came in and we whooped them. So that was Marvin Lewis's first year. So I always go back to that. That's what people are like, you think we beat the Chiefs? Like, yeah, I think we can. We did it before. I mean, never. That's why you play the games on Sunday. You never know what is going to happen.
Yep. Yep. So I got a question for you. I see a lot of people picking the Raiders to win. And I think that's winnable for us.
I think it's winnable. I'll put it to you this way. The only reason I picked that is because I picked so many others. I mean, I had to pick. We're not going to win all of them, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, because I got us going into the bye. I got it because I think we could beat the Jets. Because I think we're split with the Clowns. I think it's going to be home and home. So I think we can win both those. And then the Squealers, I really do think I got us splitting, but I think we could sweep both of those. And that's a home game for us versus Squealers. So I really think we're going to win that. So could we win four in a row? Sure. I'll be glad to win four in a row. But, you know, that would make me like 12 and 5. And I'm like, oh, I can't. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to be that. I'll miss your optimism, but I got to pick some kind of loss somewhere. Yeah. And just going out to Vegas. You know, the Bengals usually don't do all that great out there just because of the time change and things like that. And that's pretty much the only reason that I picked that, because they're not going to. I hope. Wait, I'll be glad. You guys want to go 17-0? That's fine. I'll be glad to be wrong. That's generally the reason I picked it. And then, like I said, with the Chiefs one, is the Ravens is going to be hard to win. And then you got Chase is going to be hard to win. And then we're at Cleveland. And I don't think we're going to lose 3 in a row to end the season. So I had to pick one of them, so I picked the one in the middle, and it's the home game. So that's why I picked that one. It's no real rhyme or reason. I just had to pick a couple of different wins and losses. So, like I said, I believe thoroughly that we could win every single game. I mean, I don't know if we're going to, but we're going to be in every single game. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah. No, that's going to be awesome. And, you know, the Raiders got their new Death Star.
Yes. Yes, the Death Star.
So I hear people say how expensive those seats are, nosebleeds. Well, that's what it is in Seattle.
Well, they supposedly got a DJ room or something in there, I've heard. Or I'm like, are they even going to be paying attention to the game? Or are they just going to be partying in the stands? I mean, sounds a little weird.
One end zone is a lounge, I hear.
Is that what it is?
Like, I don't want to be lounging. I want to be yelling and screaming.
Exactly. Exactly. Like Captain Obvious was on my show. Last week I had him, a couple of super fans on here, and I hope I remember to do this. And he had a great point. Game one, gates open at 11:00. I think as many Bengals fans that want to go in should go in early and start cheering and showing the Bengals how much we missed them last year and how excited we are about this year and how much this means to us that they're back on the field. We're ready to go, and they go back in the locker room. We got them all fired up, and they're ready to run through a wall. So that's what I'm hoping I'll do, because I know me. I'll start having fun tailgating and having fun and going, who day? And then, crap, the game's about to start. So I'll have to run in. So.
And the biggest thing for me is, I'm the glass half full, is we want to be as positive as we can for the players, because they feed off of it.
Absolutely, they do.
I grew up playing the drums in high school and middle school, and I love playing the drums. My biggest one thing on the bucket list besides the Bengals game in Cincinnati is to play the drums live in a Coliseum.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
To feel that beat, the guitar, and the crowd.
Yes.
You know, just like you get that adrenaline rush when you go to a Cincinnati football game, and when you go to a concert, or, you know, those things that just move people. That's what I love.
Exactly. I mean, I was listening to a commercial for a podcast of a music group. I can't remember what it was, but they said their favorite part of being live is when they first walk out on stage.
Yeah.
And they get that pop. And that's kind of like the Bengals when they first run out of the tunnel. You know, you can feel it building up in pregame. And then the fireworks go off, and they're running out of the tunnel. We're all going, let's go. And that would fire them up and get them ready to go. So, I mean, that's where I can't wait to get there. I plan on losing my voice probably by the first quarter. Right? We'll see what happens.
You know what it's like? It's like the first like WWF, not WWE, WWF, the real
stuff. Yeah.
You know, are you ready to rumble? And this crowd goes crazy. Yep. That's the feeling. That's a power and an emotion that is amazing.
Yeah, D-Generation X. I said, are you ready? And I'm really digging myself. Wrestling in the 90s.
Oh my God.
So I want to let you check this out. I don't know if you heard that me and Jeremy D, my co-host, who's a little under the weather today, has come up with his nickname for Tyler Shelvin. And we're calling him Big Daddy Bayou. So
nice.
Yeah, so if you got any mock-ups or anything you want to do with Big Daddy Bayou, I'll let you have that one, and you can roll with it.
That sounds awesome.
Hey, could we have Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson back in the day?
I like Tyler Dragon's Baton Rouge flavor in the Bengals.
Yeah, well, I've been calling him the Cincinnati or the Bayou Cincinnati or what did I call him? The Bayou Jungle Boys is what I started calling them.
Nice.
With all the LSU guys. I mean, we've had a lot of LSU guys just over the years. I mean, from Whitworth to Tommy Casanova, now to Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, and so LSU and the Bengals have actually worked out pretty well for us.
Yeah, no kidding. That's amazing.
So, all right, I think I've asked pretty much everything I wanted to ask you. Do you have anything that you'd like to say to the Bengals Nation or Houday Nation before I let you jump off here?
Hey, I just want to thank everybody who follows me on Twitter. I do this for fun and I love it. And I want to keep that passion and that love to do it. And I know it's going to be there for many years. You know, granted, even if I get hired for someone else.
When you get hired, when you get hired by the Bengals,
when you get hired there, you know, I'll still do it because I love that. I want to keep that bridge, my visual graphics from fans to the organization. But thank you, everyone who follows me and retweets. And you know what? If you want to download it and share it somewhere else, go for it. I don't need a shout out. I know it'll get out there, and I need our Bengals fans to see those graphics, those visuals, to create that those conversations and bring up that rich history to everybody around. So, thank you, everybody.
Trip Keeper has a question for you, though. He said, can you play Welcome to the Jungle on the drums?
Yes. Oh, okay. Let me tell you about my drummer days.
Yeah.
So my grandparents were amazing. They bought me a drum set and they put it upstairs in our two-story house in Alaska. And I grew up in a village of 800 people. I graduated with 13 students, including me. And
big school, huh?
I had the Walkman, right? Being one that took eight AA batteries.
Yep, I had those too.
it lasted 30 minutes.
Yeah, if that.
And so I used to just rock out, and my grandparents didn't mind at all. They just said, you know what? If you love it, do it.
That's how they put you all the way up top, too. They put you really good. So it wasn't so loud. They're probably down in the basement, right?
Right. They probably were. Or he was watching Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris really loud downstairs.
There you go.
But they just, and I used to play music all the time, you know, Guns N' Roses, Slaughter, Metallica, even Dave Matthews. You know, there's drummers that are amazing all over in different genres. So.
Well, actually, I do have a couple more questions. We had the big debate, and we had the civil war between Bengals fans going up to the draft. It was Team Chase or Team Sewell. And, I mean, I was Team Chase all the way. I mean, well, once they signed Riley Reiff, then I definitely became Team Chase. We had to go get him.
Yeah.
And I got to like, look, if they draft Sewell, it's going to be fine. If they draft Chase, it's going to be fine. Which side of the ball were you on? Were you on Team Chase or Team Sewell?
I was Team Sewell.
Okay.
But you know what? I didn't mind if they were able to go and get Chase.
Right.
My biggest concern was Atlanta Falcons.
If they're going to move and get
only, him? Yeah, they could have really went and got him. And I'm actually kind of shocked that they didn't. But, you know, the NFL gods made it that we got Chase. And that is damn awesome. So,
well, it's not only him, but this whole draft, I think – is very exciting because they were able to trade down, get Jackson Carmen. They got Tyler Shelvin, and they got Osai, and they got Sample. And they got all these guys in the draft. And they also got the foot cannon, McPhee, from the kicker. I'm very excited with this draft because I think for the first time that Zach Taylor has, I don't know if enough talent, but he at least has a lot of talents. The most talent he's had in the 2.5 years he's been the Bengals head coach. And that's, to me, I'm kind of a Zach guy. I kind of defend him a lot. That's been a lot of the problem that I've said is these other teams are more talented than we are. I mean, you can have the greatest coach in the world. Look at Bill Belichick. He loses Tom Brady, and they don't go to the playoffs. If you don't have that quarterback and the other talent with it, it's hard to win in this league. Winning a Super Bowl is damn hard. Making the playoffs is damn hard. So I think this year Zach Taylor finally has enough talent to at least have a winning season. I really do think we got a shot at the wild card. I really do. But how's your feeling on Zach Taylor and the draft and all that stuff?
I think that, like you said, the draft was a solid draft. And I love that we're able to trade it, back to get a couple more players added to that. We could have been the Seahawks. What did they have? 3.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how do you do that?
Right.
But one thing I loved about all the chitter chatter about our scouting is that what do we have, 2 or 3 scouting people, personnel, maybe 2. And other teams, go ahead.
I was saying in the scouting department, you mean?
The scouting department. We have maybe 2 or 3.
We have more than that. I don't know offhand, to be honest.
It was a small number, and I think there was a lot of concern about that. And there's other teams that have like a pack full of room. And the one thing that always comes up when I think about something like that can be relatable is, do you remember in Tom Cruise with the samurai?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember he was learning with the wooden samurai sword.
Right.
And the guy said, too many minds. You mind the crowd. You mind the opponent. You mind the wind. Too many minds, one mind.
Right.
So when I think of the scouting department, is that less minds makes it easier to get the right players. And I think we are getting better and better at drafting every year because they're sticking to a model.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when you say stick to the run game,
right?
Don't deviate because the other team catches on.
Right.
Stick to the plan, stick to the play because it's going to work.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I like that they've done the last couple years is they're drafting guys with high character, high motor, high accountability. These are the guys that I think Zach Taylor wanted, and that's the blueprint that he's built the draft. Him and Duke Tobin have built the draft on around the last couple of years, and nothing against Marvin Lewis at all, but they were a little lenient on that, compared, and then there's been years when Marvin's first couple of years here, we suffered for that. Guys got in trouble and stuff like that. They got better, but also it turned into making stupid plays and bonehead plays on the field. And I think Zach is trying to have guys who have high character, high motor, high content that'll keep their heads about them when we get in these high pressure situations and we won't lose, we won't do anything silly, to cost the team. Yeah. So that's what I like in the different direction of philosophy, I think, as to the way Zach has drafted and the way Marvin has drafted.
Yeah.
And I was going to say something. Go ahead, Dalton.
No, I love, what would you give to be a fly on the wall in those team meetings before a game, halftime, and afterwards?
Right.
To get the full experience of what the culture is. Because every team, it's culture, culture, culture. What is it? What is driving the force as one unit? Is there a divide? Is there a split? No, it has to be one unit in the culture. Yes. Everyone needs to be on board.
I remember what I was going to say now. the thing is that the
Oh man, I lost it again. Why? This getting old sucks. I had it in my head, right? And then I lost it again. But it's about man, what in the world was it? That darn it! Like I had it, and it's just like what? Anyway, I'll let you finish your thought there. Maybe my thought will come back to my head.
Oh no, no, we we could talk forever. There's so much to talk about. It's crazy, but. I don't know. There's just I just can't wait.
I think it's gonna be so much fun. I really do. The thing is, with this team being so young, that's gonna be the one issue of them moving forward and propelling it to success is because there's how many games last year did they miss? Miss winning by that much? It was a play here, play there, could have turned it around. And that comes from learning how to win. And the thing is, the guys that they're drafting all come from winning programs. I mean, we got LSU and Clemson players on here. And then a couple of them played against each other in the national championship game a couple years ago. So these guys know how to win. They just got to figure out how to do it to translate it to the NFL. And that'll come. And that's where my 11-6, I do believe that can happen. And that's where I'm kind of like, I might be a little over-optimistic because – one, we got to stay healthy. Two, if they stay healthy, we're in really good shape. If we start getting injured like we did last year, it's going to be harder to obviously to win, but that's when the depth comes in that the Bengals have now that they didn't have last year. That goes from the offensive line and the defensive line because I'm excited about the defensive line seeing Osai and Sample and Hubbard and Hendrickson and all these guys coming off the edge and trying to get to the quarterback. And if they can get consistent pressure like – I think they can, as long as Armadillo does a good job. that makes your secondary even better. So it's like you said, football is one of the most team oriented sports there is. If this works, then that makes this work. And if somebody messes it up, then it kind of like gears. This gear stops working, then all these stop working. So it's all got to go in a conjunction together.
Yeah, I got to. My son is doing flag football. This is his first time doing it. And so I kind of got to help out a little bit with the coaching a little bit. And what we're doing on his team is we're definitely rotating out. No one person is just the one quarterback. I want them to have the different positions of feel.
Right.
Wide receiver, defense, running back, quarterback, center. I want them to learn how to snap, pass it off. And what I kept telling them in the beginning, because I kind of stepped in maybe a game or two after they started, and I said, if you're quarterback, you need to be vocal. You're the one who's going to call it out and get everyone lined up and set. And they're like, what? And because they'd be like, ready, snap. I'm like, no, I need to hear you from the other end of the field. And it got them excited because now – we have had some practices and we were like 3 or 4 games out, and to see the progression of learning what it is to be a quarterback. And you're in command. You're the one who's going to set the tone for your team. And more, I'm believing more in what Joe Burrow is going to do.
Well, one thing I said about Jackpot Joe is there's difference between cockiness
and
confidence. You can be cocky and you can't back it up. You can be confident and it comes off cocky, but you can back it up. You know what you're doing. And Joe said this in his last year. Somebody asked him the question his last year at LSU. How many times did he know they were going to score before he even hiked the ball? He said a lot. Yeah. And I got a feeling that's going to happen a lot this year, that we're going to be able to spread them out. And he's going to know he's got him beat because he's going to learn from last year. Because I remember the game against Indianapolis, he said because he threw an interception to basically end that game, and we were driving. They did something on defense he'd never seen before. Well, he watched the replay of it. He goes, I should have done this. Well, he'll remember that now. And this coming year, I think it's going to help. And with him on track to get be ready game one, and this is May, and the doctor's saying he's going to be ready game one, he's going to back off his rehab or anything, but his rehab is going so well. He can also work on football and on getting ready for plays and stuff next year. That's the stuff he normally does in the offseason. He's going to have enough time to do that. So I'll get to Preston here. He said, I think we have a great season and a prayer's chance. If we get to the AFC Championship from the wild card, Burrow and company going to make magic happen. I can feel it. Can't wait, bro. Dude, I'm with you. I really do think we have a shot. I mean, it. All you can ask for is a shot. And the last couple of years that Zach's been here, we haven't had a shot. We don't have didn't have enough talent. We do now. We have enough talent to compete with them. And thought how nice would it be is if the Bengals are in the playoffs and the Squealers are in last place and they're at home and they're all crying with their little terrible towels. Woo-hoo, we didn't make the playoffs, but we got six rings. Yeah, and Bengals are in the playoffs. That would be so awesome. I would really, really enjoy that. I'll have so much fun. And hopefully you'll make some really not mean memes, but some funny ones. We'll put it that way.
Some funny ones, yeah.
Yeah, some funny ones for the Squealer fans.
Classic ones for the ages that will go on, right?
Exactly. Oh, all right, Preston. Burrow got confidence. He ain't copy. He's cocky. He's humble. That's what makes him great. Exactly. And that's the other, that's what I say. He's not cocky. And because how many times last year when he's getting hit, he goes, I should got rid of the ball sooner. That's on me. That's never blame the offensive line. Never one time did I hear him blame the offensive line or say, well, these guys aren't doing their job. They're not supposed to be doing what they're doing. I did it. I mean, you had guys that were playing for the Bengals that would guard the offensive line like this. Yeah, that's Bobby Hart. He's no longer a Bengal anymore. But he would not throw him under the bus, which I don't think he should have, because it's his teammate. No matter what you think of him, that's your teammate. You're in the trenches together.
Yeah. No, you are. I totally agree 100%, because everyone watches you. Just like the Bengals watch all of us as we tweet, retweet, comment, post.
Well, that's the thing too. I've tweeted out and instant messaged the ones I can to have so many Bengals to try to get them to come on the show. I mean, I got lucky. Dave Lapham came on here, so
that was awesome.
Joe Mixon, I've been hounding him. Like, come on, dude, come on, man. I would hit him up on every time he goes live on Instagram. I'm like, hey, come on my show. I love you. Come on my show. So I know he knows my name. I put it in the strawberry ice. I know he knows that. Yeah. He probably don't know who the hell I am or anything, but I know they like the positivity because Mixon has retweeted something that Captain Obvious, Bengals Captain Obvious, has put out there. He retweeted it today. So you know they're watching us. You know they like what they like their fans being excited and with them, not against them. Like Captain Obvious said, there was always so much negativity on Twitter, so much negativity about the Bengals and the national media and all that stuff. And I got sick of it, dude. I mean, even sometimes here in Cincinnati, the local radio guys were negative about the Bengals. And I'm like, look, I don't want to sit there and listen to that for 3 hours about how bad. I mean, I know they haven't been great, but damn it. Can we have something, you know, you can find something positive about it. And that's where I think we're at right now with Twitter. We're winning the war on the positivity versus the negativity. And that's hopefully will translate to the season, getting these players fired up, knowing that we're behind them. And win, lose, or draw, we're going to be behind him. And Jackpot Joey's going to be back. Hey, what? I'm so excited. Like, God, I can't wait for that. It's going to be so much freaking fun.
Yeah.
But, Dalton, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a fun time. Tell everybody again where they can follow you and anything else you want to promote. Go for it.
Yeah. So Twitter, my handle is Dalton Signature, one word. And on Instagram, Dalton Signature as well. And also, I've switched gears a little bit and I've tried to stay away from keeping what I do as a secret, because coming from a background of being a teacher, teaching software, design, art, I want to share. So I'm practicing with my Twitter or Twitch.
Okay.
So I'm doing some live streaming Twitch on some of the Photoshop graphics that I do create. That's cool. Just to share people. I mean, there's a lot of great people out there that do some amazing things. And, you know, I'll take the constructive criticism and make it better. And I hope that what I do inspires other people to create content. Exactly. Look at Captain Obvious. I mean, he's messing around with Photoshop, Premiere, and After Effects, and he does all these really cool GIFs.
Yeah, Bangalorean started to design T-shirts and stuff. Now he's been blowing those up. And he made a Big Daddy Bayou one, so I was happy about that. I'm going to have to buy one of those.
And, you know, you got some great designers. Seth Reese, who got to go to the New Jersey Stripes release, and he does amazing stuff. Hugh Edits, he does some great stuff, too. And there's a lot of other – I mean, we can spend all day listening to all these amazing people.
Right, exactly.
But that's what I love about this community. The fandom and the fans are amazing. And,
exactly.
You know, people like you who do amazing stuff to bring us some – great content, great debates, great topics to talk about. So,
well, I appreciate it. I try. It's sometimes it's rough every day at 5:30 to try to find something cool to talk about, but I do my best. Guys, you for coming on the show and talking Bengals, talking what you got going on, and other than that, you have a great day, and we'll have to do this again sometime. And if you come to Cincinnati for a game, look me up. We'll go have a beer and go watch the Bengals kick some ass.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Hooday.
All right, Don. Hooday. Thank you. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to try to get some of the questions or statements more in the chat here for about the last 10 minutes. If you guys are wondering, Jeremy's a little under the weather. He got the COVID shot. Not the COVID. He got the COVID shot. So he hasn't been feeling that great the last couple of days. Hopefully he'll feel better and he'll be on tomorrow, but that's where Jeremy has been at. Robert, Foxy, would be better if we knock the Squealers out of the playoffs and they can go home and cry a little harder in their yellow towels. Dude, as long as they're not in the playoffs, I'll be happy. But yes, knocking them out would be very, very cool. All right, Preston, even blowing it up today, man. Welcome to the show. I don't know if you're new or not, but I don't recognize your name, but I'm getting new people on here all the time. So if you're watching, welcome, and I appreciate you, man. If Mixon gets going, it's a wrap. RT step up. Just all, it's over. Yeah, if Mixon gets going, yes. I really do think this is what's going to happen. I think they're going to be more run heavy at the beginning of the year to get Jackpot Joey back into a rhythm and playing. Because no matter what they say, yes, yeah, so he's ready to go game one. He's still not going to play in the preseason, my opinion. But I think they're going to start leaning heavily on Mixon, I think, at least for the first game or so. Not that they're not going to throw it. They're going to throw it. But I think it's going to be a more run-oriented thing at first to get Burrow going, to make sure he has less hits, make sure the offensive line is going cohesively. But once we get going, just like Matt Minnick said yesterday, when you spread them out, if we can spread out like, seriously, we have a chance to spread these guys out five wide, including our running backs. They're going to have a hard time covering us. Now, the thing is, I'm excited to see. I don't even say concerned. I want to see what Lou Amarillo has with this defense because these are his guys. I don't think there's anybody left from Marvin in the defense that I can think of offhand. So these are all his guys. And like Matt yesterday, a lot of guys are complaining about Zach or Marvin's guys. They're no longer here. You haven't heard anybody from Zach's guys complain about Zach or Lou. So I think this is going to be very interesting. I can't wait to see what Lou can do because he's got multiple edge rushers that he can put in there. He's got guys in the middle. He's got run stuffers. Oh, will they all stay healthy? He's got a revamped secondary again. We got one of the best blitzing corners in football. There's a lot of stuff there that Lou can work with. I'm really interested to see what he does with it. I'm hoping he's more aggressive than he has shown the last 2 years. Now, that also could be because he didn't think he had the talent to be aggressive as he'd like. I don't know. I'm just kind of talking out loud. That's what I want to see. I want to get after the quarterback. I want to put pressure on the quarterback and stuff the run. You can get pressure on the quarterback. It makes such a big difference. And I really hope that's what they do. All right. Brian Houdet, what's up, brother? All right. I think I'm going to roll on out of here. And I appreciate all of the groups, the Facebook groups that let me live stream. You guys are awesome. I invite all of you guys to join these Facebook sports groups if you are a Cincinnati sports fan. They're Houdet Nation, which is, I think, 15,000 people now, 1,500, 15,000, something like that. It's a huge group. Check that out. Cincinnati Reds, Ryan in third, heading for home. A great Cincinnati Reds group. Bearcat Country, my favorite Bearcat group. Check them out. We got some more transfers. Wes Miller could actually have a halfway decent team, Bearcat fans. I'm getting kind of excited about this. So definitely try to join Bearcat Country. For all the Ohio State fans out there, check out Ohio State Bucknuts. You got the Ice Bar, which is my show page. It's a virtual bar. We sit there, we talk crap, have fun, you know, talk sports virtually. So check it out. And then you follow me on all my social media platforms, all under Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm on Facebook, and I have 1,065 likes. I have 1,165 followers. I'm on Twitter. It's also under Sports with Strawberry Ice. The handle is Jeff A. Trenopol. That is T-R-E-N-N-E-P-O-H-L. I have 572 followers. It's starting to get up there. I'm on Instagram. I'm at 92. I'm getting close to 100 on there. It's under Sports Strawberry Ice. And then TikTok, Sports Strawberry Ice, handle is Iceman90. I have 222 followers on that. I'll be pulling the sound off later on tonight. You guys can check it out. You can't sit there and watch the show for an hour. I totally understand. Listen to it. It's on BeanPod, Apple iTunes, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you like, rate, and review. Give me a 5-star review and download it and tell your friends about it. And then YouTubers, like I said, you guys are killing it. We're doing awesome. We're at 1,115 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you guys. And other than that, tomorrow, it's kind of up in the air who's going to be on the show, because I don't even know. So you might want to tune in to find out. It could be a very, very interesting show. And other than that, that's just sports, baby. See ya!